fires. Enjoy real food without deprivation.
Psalm 63:5 NLT. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy.
Don't make food an idol. The idol of food.
Exodus 34:14 NLT. You must worship no other gods, for the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you.
You may be wondering what idol worship has to do with weight loss. When we hear the word idol, we think it's as Exodus 20 describes it.
Exodus 21-6 message. God spoke all these words. I am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of a life of slavery. No other gods, only me.
However, an idol can be more than just a carved object. An idol is anything we place in a position of worship over God or his commandments. I believe one of the chief idols in America today is food. Most Americans are in love with food, heart, mind, and soul. That's not true, you might say. Food isn't my idol. I'm just overweight because I'm eating the wrong food and I don't exercise enough. That is just not the case. It's your being in love with food that's the problem. Think about what it's like when you first fall in love with someone. I remember what it was like when I first started dating my husband, Ryan. I always had my nails and hair done, and I had to have the perfect outfit when I knew I was going to see him. He was all I thought about. When you're in love, the object of your affection is the number one thing on your mind, and every plan you make revolves around it. That's what I see happening with people and food. We're not even done with breakfast, and we're thinking about what's for lunch. If there's no good food at a party, then we don't want to be there. A wedding with bad food is considered a bad wedding. Everything revolves around food. This obsession with food usually starts in childhood. Growing up, food was given to me as a reward for good behavior. These are things I try to do differently with my son. I don't tell him that he won't get any ice cream if he doesn't finish everything on his dinner plate. These kinds of statements seem innocent at first, but they become ingrained in us and shape how we look at food when we get older. If you want to find out what a person loves, see what they worship the most. Stop worshiping food. I was listening to a sermon by Lon Solomon, pastor at McLean Bible Church, about what we worship, and he told a story about a guy in NASCAR racing who, at the time of the sermon, had the most starts. It was Ricky Rudd, with 156 starts. The closest he ever came to missing a start was when he tore his MCL and the orthopedic surgeon wanted to operate. He was supposed to be in a cast for weeks, but instead he went to physical therapy and his team built him a hand-operated clutch. He was back in the car in a couple of days. Once he ruptured all the capillaries in his eyes. When he went around corners, his eyes would puff up and fill with blood, so they duct taped his eyelids to his forehead. To find out what a person worships, look at how they act and their priorities. As you can see, Ricky Rudd worships NASCAR racing. What I love the most is my kids. So much of what my husband and I talk, think, and plan about is them. Think for a second. How much of your daily conversation is about food? How much do you think about it? Are you constantly counting calories? How many of your social activities are scheduled around your eating? Once again, this is why I'm so against diets. As a dieter, you have to constantly read labels, count every calorie, read every book on what to eat and what not to eat. It's a never-ending cycle of obsession.
Exodus 32:2-4, message. So Aaron told them, take off the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me. They all did it. They removed the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from their hands and cast it in the form of a calf, shaping it with an engraving tool.
In past times, when I read this story about the Israelites worshiping the golden calf, I always said, what is wrong with these people? Are they really that stupid that they would make this golden calf themselves and then bow down to it? But if you think about it, that is what we're doing with food, and it's almost worse. We're bowing down to a piece of pizza or an ice cream cone. It's weird for us because none of us make a gold calf and worships it. But we have our own false god that we turn to for comfort. If you're reading this book, it probably means that you made food your false god. When I was in my 20s, I noticed all of my thin friends were eating candy and junk food and staying thin. I ate grilled chicken and broccoli and couldn't lose a pound. Because I wanted to be like them, I ended up in a bulimic lifestyle. I ate whatever I wanted and threw it up later. At this point in my life, I was obsessed with food. Every decision was between being thin or eating what I wanted and purging later. I used laxatives, water pills, and exercised compulsively. I knew I was in bondage and I was scared it would last forever. Finally, I prayed and declared that no matter what I ate, I wasn't going to throw up again. God answered and delivered me. Now I recognize that food had become my idol during that season of my life. It was something I worshipped and it dominated my every decision. You can be vegan if you want to be vegan, and you can be paleo if you want to be paleo. What you should never do is be in bondage. analyzing every label, counting every calorie, and measuring every meal is stressful and it's idolatry. We were all born to worship something, and God put a worship pacemaker in each and every one of our hearts. If we don't know God to worship Him, then there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts that we try to fill with other things. It can be food, sex, money, drugs, work, or just about anything. This is what idolatry is. It used to be statues and animal heads, but now it's these subtle things we make our obsessions. When you idolize these other things, it's like committing spiritual adultery. Striving to be healthy is good, but when you become obsessive and set that pursuit ahead of God, then there's an issue. You can't love something God made more than you love Him, and no one can serve two masters. We never set out to make idols of our diets. However, if you're living life scared to eat, and you're up all night feeling guilty about what you did eat, then that's exactly what you've done. Intermittent fasting has helped me take charge and overcome all of this craziness. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to grant you wisdom to make good choices and be balanced. The three signs of worship. I believe there are three major signs of worship that can be identified in every person. When you worship something, you, one, focus on it.
Hebrews 12:2, NIV. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our focus is meant to be on Jesus, but when we become fixated on diets and losing weight to the point of obsession, we are out of focus. 2. Give yourself to it.
Romans 12:1, NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
We're meant to give ourselves to God, not to donuts. It sounds almost silly, but how many times have we surrendered our wills to the desire for food? 3. Find joy in it.
Psalm 16:11, NIV. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
While I believe God means for us to enjoy the food we eat, food was never meant to be the source of our joy. Remember that your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. If I were in someone else's house, I would be very careful with everything. God's rules versus diet rules, fad diets, shiny ball diet syndrome. If you ever get unfocused or anxious about your weight loss, don't fall the temptation to try another of the world's man-made quick fix diets. You have to go back to biblical principles for eating whenever this happens. If the diet doesn't encourage you to refrain from gluttony, not make food an idol, and operate in balance and self-control, then it's not for you. If you talk to a friend who's doing a low-carb diet and losing a ton of weight overnight, you may be tempted to do the same. We have to focus our minds on God's way for our lives and not man's way. After reading every scripture on food there is over and over again, I discovered that they all fall into the biblical principles that I've incorporated into the FIRES acronym. Fast on a regular basis, identify true hunger, reduce sugar and white simple carbs, enjoy real food without deprivation, and stop before you're full. That's God's way. Don't let yourself get sidetracked, no matter how hard it might be, to stay focused. If you lose 3 pounds this week, don't decide that you've earned the right to not work as hard next week. That's a textbook trap right there. Pray every day that God will keep you focused. The devil is going to tell you different lies, but you can't listen to them. He'll say things like, "You had a rough day and you deserve to eat. You're not feeling well, so you need food to make you feel better. You have so much weight to lose that it's hopeless. You're full, but one or two more bites won't hurt. Don't wait too long to eat or it'll mess up your metabolism." When you hear these kinds of things, you have to combat them with scripture.
John 15:5, NIV. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Combine scripture with positive statements that combat the negative ones you hear in your mind. I am always able to recognize true hunger versus mental hunger. I always recognize when I'm full versus stuffed. I understand that I'm free to eat what I want and I choose to eat real, whole foods. I wait until my stomach growls to eat. I'm not a slave to food anymore. I always leave a little bit of food on my plate so I know food doesn't rule me. I don't eat according to the clock. I eat when I'm physically hungry. I want to address a couple of common myths people believe about eating that just aren't true. These are things you need to drop from your thinking. God's ways are always better. When you do it His way, He'll come in and reward you. You may read this book and feel led to try to eat mindfully and with intention, but be prepared to be tempted by other diets. I call this the shiny ball diet syndrome. This is my made-up fun phrase for describing someone who loses focus easily. For example, a shiny ball rolls by and you go chase it no matter what else you're doing at the time. You have to pray and commit to eating the Chantel Ray way and not to be led astray by that shiny ball. Diets and restrictions are all part of the shiny ball diet syndrome designed to keep you in bondage. Since I have been on fad diets my whole life, since I have tried the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet, the keto diet, the zone diet, the Suzanne Summers diet, etc., I know the shiny ball diets well. I used to chase after those shiny balls. Fad diets will always be popular. The problem with them is that even though they address people's desire to lose weight quickly, they aren't sustainable for the long term. You must figure out something to do for life, and everyone who is mindlessly thin has figured out what works for them. Another problem with these shiny diets is they limit what you can eat and force you to eat the same things over and over again. One of my friends once came over when my daughter was eating cottage cheese. My daughter offered my friend some, and my friend said, "Years ago, when I was on the Body for Life diet, I ate so much cottage cheese that to this day, I still can't eat it. As a child, my mom made me tuna fish sandwiches every single day because one time I told her it was good. Well, in middle school, there was this boy named Art, who I didn't care for at all, but who was obsessed with me. He was very wealthy and got money for lunch every day. So every day I would throw away the tuna sandwiches and have Art buy me lunch. To this day, I can't eat tuna fish sandwiches. Sorry, Mom. What's my point? Shiny diets require you to eat the same foods over and over until you just get sick of it. You want to eat what your body is craving. When you're cutting out so many foods, the more you can't have something, the more you think of it and become preoccupied with it. Why submit yourself to that bondage? Dieting, the practice of restricting what you can and can't eat, is slavery. It's creating a false god. Recently, I went to Chipotle with my family. Everyone ordered food, but my stomach wasn't growling, so I ordered a side of chicken to take home. 30 minutes after I got home, I was hungry. My food was still warm, so I ate and I felt rewarded for making the right decision. The fear of food. I finally lost the obsession of what to eat when I began intermittent fasting. I finally lost the weight, even though I wasn't eating perfect with every single meal. I lost the fear of food that dominated every diet that I ever tried. When I was growing up in school, I was taught about the food pyramid. The way I remember it, there was basically four categories of food: dairy, grains, fruit, and vegetables, and meat. Do a web search today on any of these food groups, and here's some of the things you'll see people saying about them. Dairy. The media says, "Dairy is so bad for you. Cow's milk is only meant for baby cows and humans should never drink it. Dairy products have no place in your diet, period." Grains and bread. The media says, "Grains are killing you as you speak. They can destroy your intestinal tract and gluten has detrimental effects on your brain. Grain is poison." Fruits and vegetables. The media says, "There's a whole group of vegetables called nightshade vegetables that includes potatoes, tomatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, and more. These vegetables are deadly and include over 2,000 different species." Meat. The media says, "Red meat has too much fat and too many calories. Fish is good, but then it actually isn't because it has too much mercury in it. Don't eat poultry because it has salmonella." You can find dozens of articles condemning every possible food you can think of, including water. It's gotten to the point that you don't know what to eat or drink anymore. There's always a new fad and dieting trend to chase. Tell me you haven't seen these headlines before. Top 10 superfoods to keep in your kitchen. 3 foods to make you lose weight right away. Eat these foods to lose belly fat fast. This culture of fearing food is a form of idol worship sustained by the media, self-proclaimed diet gurus, and even doctors. Real food is not the problem. There are a lot of people who view food as the source of their problems. They decide to eat nothing but celery and carrots and ban wheat and eggs and just restrict, restrict, restrict. As a result, they still end up eating large portions of whatever it is they do allow themselves to eat.
Colossians 2:20-22, NSAB. "Why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as, 'Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch,' which all refer to things destined to perish with use?"
In my opinion, there is nothing in the Bible that tells you you can't eat this or that, but I do think the food should be real food and not a package filled with tons of chemicals. Binging. I went to college for a degree in math, and during that time I was under an extreme amount of stress. In fact, my 3rd and 4th years of college were the most stressful times in my life. In high school, I made straight A's and never studied. I never had to work hard at anything. But then I went to Virginia Wesleyan University because I wanted to be a math teacher. Your first 2 years of math are reasonable. It's when you become a math major that you get to the point where you aren't even dealing with numbers anymore. It gets out there. It was so far beyond me that I felt like I didn't even know what I was doing. All of this stress drove me into bulimia. I would binge eat and then throw up because I didn't want to gain too much weight. I had all of this anxiety and I would just eat and get myself to the point where I was so sick, I would force myself to throw up. For 2 years, I was this way, binging and purging repeatedly. It was a really bad time for me. When I wasn't throwing up, I was using laxatives. I was going to the gym and work out for 2 to 3 hours a day. I was just consumed with worry about my weight. It was really just a horrible, stressful time in my life. If any of this sounds like your life, and if you're struggling with bulimia, then here's something you need to do. 1. No gluttony. Repent and ask God for help. I had to recognize that I had a food addiction and needed to set boundaries. I could never binge. I could never overeat. 2. Discernment, not deprivation. The reason why people purge like this is because they are dieting so much. During my struggle, I was telling myself, I'm only going to eat broccoli and cucumbers and carrots and grilled chicken. You can only do that for so long. Because I was depriving myself, the second I got in contact with a donut, I couldn't just eat half of it. I had to eat 10 because I hadn't had anything sweet in 2 weeks. Tell yourself, I'm not depriving myself of anything. If there's anything I want to eat, I may eat it. I'm going to make wise choices and I'm not going to eat everything at once. If I want half of a donut, I can have half of a donut. I'm not going to be afraid of eating certain things. 3. Gorge on the word. Every time you feel like you're going to overeat or binge, spend that time with God. You have to go to God and ask for help when you're tempted to bypass the boundaries you set for yourself. Ask Him to fill you up better than food ever could. Instead of binging on food, gorge on the word. You don't have forbidden fruits. As soon as something is a forbidden fruit in your mind, you crave it. There is no forbidden fruit in this lifestyle. There is nothing you can't eat. You are reintroducing yourself to food and you are choosing to eat healthy foods much of the time. I eat a little bit of something every day that would be considered off limits on a traditional diet. There's almost a sense of peace when you get hungry and it's in that time frame where you know you can eat again. If you listen to your body, it will tell you what you want to eat. My favorite treat used to be Twizzlers, but at one time everyone was giving me all these Twizzlers, so for a couple of weeks I couldn't even eat a Twizzler. I had too much and my body knew it. I don't eat Twizzlers now because they have gluten in them, and my body doesn't feel good when I eat gluten. But go to Things I Love at www.chantelrayway.com to see what Twizzlers I eat now. You don't have to try to completely ignore your cravings. If you're craving salt, don't buy unsalted chips. If you're craving salt, your body probably needs it for whatever reason. You just want to remember to rate your foods and only eat what you really want. If someone brought in blueberry muffins and someone else brought in Krispy Kreme donuts, I would want the muffin. However, I would only eat the muffin top because that's my highest rated thing. Just eat the best things. Turn around with true repentance. Repentance is easily defined as turning from your old ways. It's something the Bible talks about often and it's very important. True repentance means doing a 180-degree turn. It's turning away from sin and turning back to God. It's loving Him and making Him who you turn to instead of food. I used to live for food. I planned my entire day around eating. I overindulged myself at breakfast while getting excited about lunch. I finally realized that my desire for food could never be satisfied because in a couple of hours I was going to want something else. The Chantel Rayway keeps your mind off of eating and forces you to turn to God when you're hungry instead of turning to food. This goes back to acknowledging that overeating is a sin. As long as you're pretending that gluttony is fine, you're never going to repent and turn away from your behavior.
1 Corinthians 10:31 NIV. So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Understand that when you commit the sin of gluttony, you're harming your body, God's temple.
John 8:34 NIV. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin."
Sin leads to slavery. Overeating, just like any other sin, can be addictive. You become a slave to your own habits. It's a vicious cycle because the more you overeat, the more you want to overeat. When someone is truly repentant, they're sorrowful for what they've done and they're not pointing the finger at somebody else. Many of us constantly blame others when it comes to our weight. We say, "It's my husband's fault that I'm fat because he always brings junk food into the house." Or, "I blame my kids because they don't eat their half of the food." That's not what real repentance looks like. Real repentance says, "I and I alone am the reason that I'm overweight." It's not because your job is stressful or because your husband is mean to you. All of these crazy things people come up with are just excuses to overeat. This journey can only begin once you finally stop passing blame. Eat what you really want, no restrictions. Dietary restrictions kept Jewish Christians from initially accepting Gentile Christians into their fellowship. Peter's vision in Acts 10, 9-16 presented the new rules of eating.
Acts 10, 9-16, NIV. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean."
This removed the dietary restrictions that God placed on Israel through the Mosaic Law as seen in Leviticus 11.
Leviticus 11, 1-8, NIV. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has divided hoof and that chews the cud."
It goes on even longer than this in Leviticus and Deuteronomy 12 and 14. Under the new covenant, the restrictions were lifted, and we were instructed not to try to force anyone else to eat a certain way.
Romans 14, 2-3, NIV. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them.
We have to respect each other enough to let each other eat the way we think we should. If you want to be vegan, be vegan. If you want to be vegetarian, be vegetarian. Do you want to be paleo? Be paleo. You have to decide for yourself. I am not going to judge people who eat differently from me, and they shouldn't judge me. Our focus should be to take care of our bodies because they are God's temple. We can serve God effectively when we're healthy. Chasing after fad diets is like chasing the wind. We need to control our appetites and let the Holy Spirit direct our decisions. Discernment, not deprivation. Don't gorge on good foods. I kept reading all of these diet books instead of going to the Bible to find out what God said. When I went to the Word, I found that God had so much to say about fasting. I'm anti-diet because diets force us to focus more on food. They create a big greed problem because instead of addressing the problem of overeating, they encourage us to have larger amounts of food. They justify it by labeling some foods as good and others as bad. Think discernment, not deprivation. We need to fix the root of the problem, not the food choice. It's all about self-control. Even if you're eating healthily, you can still overeat and consume too many calories. We can still gorge on good foods. When I was trying to eat really clean, I found these healthy chips that I love to eat. They were dairy-free, gluten-free, and every other type of free. They were only 160 calories a serving. The problem was that I would eat the entire bag in one sitting. That was 5 servings. Just like that, I had consumed 800 calories. I could have just had 200 calories of Doritos and been better off. I have another friend who cut out all dairy and grains from her diet. When she got hungry, she would eat a ton of carrots and celery. She wasn't losing weight, and she finally realized that it was because she was still overeating. But instead of eating too many sweets and crackers, she was eating too many carrots, celery sticks, nuts, avocados, and peanut butter. You need to go to the root of the problem, not the fruit. When you don't fix the root of the problem, you go after chemicals, artificial sugars, and all of this low-calorie fluff. We create habits of eating more food instead of waiting until we're hungry. Tell yourself this: go to the root, not the fruit. Or maybe talk to an accountability partner and tell yourself, share it, don't run to the carrot. You can still eat the foods you love while losing weight, and nothing is unacceptable to eat. Although you will do best if you avoid sugars and chemicals, keep those in the realm of the 3-bite rule. How am I going to feel when I eat this? One thing I want every reader to understand is that as long as you eat in your eating window, you can't make a mistake no matter what you eat. But remember, if you are a healthy thin eater, you're going to be able to eat more than a sick thin eater. Yesterday I had half a donut and didn't feel guilty about it one bit. The problem with dieting is people don't want to control how much they eat, so they make their food behave. They overeat on things like carrots or celery and say that because it's healthy food, it doesn't count. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says to put a knife to your throat if you're being gluttonous. Period. The end. You have to practice self-control.